Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to talk on this segment about the subject of creation, you know, about why is the creation account that's given to us in the book of Genesis so important for us to then be able to interpret, rightfully interpret, and talk about so many other areas of life and so many other issues that we face in this life. Joining us on this segment is Rusty Fulp. It's spelled F-U-L-P, Rusty Fulp. He's with Creation Ministries International. Many people just know him by the acronym CMI, but Creation Ministries International, their website is www.creation.com, and Rusty is with them there. He does a lot of speaking on various issues, and I wanted to give him the opportunity to tell us, first of all, a little bit about his background and the work that he does there with CMI, and then I want to let you know that he is actually going to be here in the upstate of South Carolina, specifically in Greenville. He'll be here on October 16th, and he'll be speaking over at Greenville Presbyterian Church in downtown Greenville. I'll give you more about that meeting here throughout our discussion. I'll tell you more about what time it starts and exactly where Greenville Presbyterian Church is as we go through our discussion. But first, Rusty, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Pastor Kevin, it is great to be with you today. I appreciate this opportunity. And just to tell you a little bit about myself at CMI, I'm an events manager first and foremost. And so I basically work with churches to arrange meetings for all of our speakers and manage the details of those events so that everything is taken care of. And then I have the privilege of going out and speaking on creation and a biblical worldview, demonstrating why Genesis is so foundational to what we believe, and in particular, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Your background really providentially is used of the Lord in order for you to be in a position like this. I was reading a little bit about how at a very young age you were confronted with evolutionary arguments and pretty intimidated by them. And then it wasn't until later on in life that you heard somebody actually give answers to these types of questions. Talk just a little bit about that, because I think that's pretty common experience of what we're finding happens to many young people in our church today.
Yes, well, I grew up in church, in a Bible-believing church, and I believe the Word of God. You know, from a young age, I made a profession of faith at 11 years of age, and then it bothered me as I would watch documentaries, scientific programs referring to millions of years and to the evolutionary process. And I'm one of those people that never bought into it, but I was extremely bothered that I did not have answers to the questions that were being brought up. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I attended Liberty University, where I had a professor that a former evolutionist, a biologist, that actually answered a lot of those questions. He did a really good job of dealing with those issues, and so a lot of my questions were answered at that point. And that was a benefit for me as a Christian to be able to begin to defend the historicity of God's Word.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, too, about your early ministry work. You were not only a pastor, but also a missionary, and specifically a missionary with indigenous people of Atlantic Canada region. And so when you think about mission work and pastoring a church, especially with indigenous people like that, you don't normally think that something like creationism would play such a vital role or a predominant role in that ministry. But it appears that it really played a very prominent role in your ministry there among that group of people.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing that we discovered is we would share Christ, whether we were, you know, speaking to the Mi'kmaq Indians or Caucasian people. We discovered that 70% of the people would ask us about evolution. Sometimes they would actually stop us and ask us about evolution. But, you know, one thing that really stands out in my mind, you know, we took, you know, Native youth to a Bible camp in New Brunswick for many years. And I know one year after about the middle of the week of, you know, preaching the gospel, some of the, I mean, we're talking about children that were ages 7 to 12 years of age, you know, came up to some of the staff and basically said that, you know, we know what you guys are teaching can't be true because we, you know, we already know that, that we evolved from monkeys, as they put it. And it really got us as a staff to thinking, and the next year we did sort of a creation conference, and it went a long ways at helping, you know, these young people understand that, you know, this evolutionary belief is a belief system, that it's not, you know, it's not proven fact, and helping them to understand how this originates and that really God's word is trustworthy. And it made a tremendous, you know, difference in our camp the following years, as well as, you know, our personal ministry as we went out and shared Christ with people.
I had read about that, that you were involved in forming outreach programs and actually had a three-month creation summer that you put together that ended with the idea of you guys going to a location in search of fossils and so forth. So it grew into quite a ministry in and of itself, right?
It certainly did. As we realized the importance of you know, dealing with this issue and being equipped personally, we began to use it, you know, in our church ministry. So we had a creation summer, basically 4 different months with, you know, once a month creation, you know, creation day, basically. And it culminated with our a trip to Joggins, Nova Scotia, where you find, you know, polystrate fossils, fossils that exist through multiple layers of strata. So not only does it demonstrate, you know, rapid burial, but also that there can't be time gaps between the layers of strata because you have fossilized trees that exist sometimes through 3 and 4 layers of strata. And so you cannot put millions of years between, you know, the layers of strata. And you certainly can't say that the sedimentary layers that make up each of those strata were laid down over long periods of time as well.
I saw that. That's a great point, by the way, and I hope the listening audience caught the significance of that. We're talking then about the catastrophic events of a global flood. Of course, the flood that is told to us in the book of Genesis, Noah's flood, Noah's ark, and the flood that took place during Noah's time, and that it's consistent then, finding fossils like that that go across these strata is very consistent with what the scripture says about that issue, and it's not consistent then with this idea of millions or billions of years that are spoken about by those in evolution. Let me ask you just one more background question. I saw, too, that you were a founding board member of a local Christian radio station in Canada as well. Did that station deal with creation-related issues as well?
Well, we certainly, you know, promoted broadcast of various speakers that dealt, you know, John MacArthur being one, that, you know, that dealt with this issue, and other, you know, other speakers that were, you know, that were played on our radio station as well. But I did not have the privilege. I had a limited role in actually founding the station and only, you know, a little bit of control in the programming.
The significance of Genesis really comes down to the idea of what we find written for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 5. It says about, it speaks about destroying arguments and every lofty opinion that is raised above the knowledge of God, and to take these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, that really is a foundational thought in the idea of confronting evolutionary statements and bringing them and helping people to understand them in a biblical way, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I think it's important to point out, we don't seek to attack the evolutionist. You know, I think all of our scientists at CMI were at one time evolutionists. But we do, we do want to destroy arguments that, seek to hold themselves up against the Word of God. Because we need to communicate to people that God's Word is trustworthy and demonstrate that. And that involves destroying false arguments.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Rusty Fulp. Rusty is with CMI, Creation Ministries International. You can go out to their website at creation.com. He's going to be speaking here in the upstate of South Carolina, in fact, specifically right here in Greenville, South Carolina. And he's going to be speaking here at the Creation Study Group meeting, one of their meetings that they're holding at Greenville Presbyterian Church. Now, I think normally they meet at Second Presbyterian Church. This one's going to be held at Greenville Presbyterian Church. It's at 711 Pendleton in downtown Greenville, Greenville, South Carolina. And if you go out to the Creation Study Group webpage, which is creationstudygroup.org, you'll see the address there, and they have a link there with the map. And so you can just click on that. But it's right in downtown Greenville. And Randy is going to be speaking there at 6 o'clock p.m. on October 16th. He's going to actually be giving two different presentations. There's going to be one presentation and then a brief intermission, and then he'll start right away on the second presentation. So the first one is going to deal with the subject of creation and why it matters, and then the subtitle of that is A Flood of Evidence. And I would just venture to think that that deals somehow with the flood. We'll look at that in just a second. And then the second one is going to deal with the subject of dinosaurs and their real place in history. You know, we're told so many different things about dinosaurs, and Hollywood has a number of shows that they've produced or films that they've produced about dinosaurs. Well, how much of this is really accurate? And, you know, what's the distinction here between the biblical account and what we see spoken about just in culture today? Rusty's going to look at the subject about what the Scripture teaches about the catastrophic flood event, the biblical flood account there in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, and then speak a little bit about what about these animals being on Noah's Ark? How do we think about that in this situation as well? So again, October 16th, and Rusty Fulp from CMI will be at Greenville Presbyterian Church. Rusty, let me ask you a little bit, without giving the store away and giving us your entire presentation that you're going to be doing, speak about these presentations in general that you're going to be given. I understand you kind of mix it with, I think you have some electronic presentation that goes along with your talk as well. Talk about that, and then we'll talk about the content of these two presentations.
Well, we go back and demonstrate that Genesis is certainly foundational to what we believe, showing how New Testament authors, including Christ himself, look back to Genesis, in particular Genesis 1 through 11, and interpreted it as real history and based their teaching on, the truth of and the historicity of those, events in the book of Genesis. But one thing that we point out, we like to do this in every talk, and it is important for our listeners today to understand the distinction between what we call operational science and historical science. And so we try to help people see that there is a difference. What we can measure today in the present and observe the results of, that's what's called operational science. Whereas things that took place in the past. We can only observe what's left behind, but we cannot tell how it came to be the way that it is. Like, for example, the radioisotopes. We can only measure the radioisotopes. And so we demonstrate that radiometric or radioisotope dating is really based on some major assumptions. And when you date fossils or when you date rock layers with radioisotope dating, that you find, you know, major anomalies, major inconsistencies, especially when you know the date of the rock or the fossil, and you get dates that are, you know, way out of sync. And that's certainly common. So we try to help people see that really evolution is not based on what we call operational science. It's based on historical science, and it really has a lot to do with a person's worldview, where they begin, the presuppositions that they begin with, and how they interpret, you know, the world around them.
Mm. Do you find, Rusty, that many Christians are intimidated by science that way? They, because of the operational science, that which is reproducible in the laboratory where they can conduct these experiments over and over again, plus combined with the tremendous technology that we have today, that then when these same people speak about origins and they give more of a philosophical rather than a scientific view of origins, maybe some would even say a religious view, but it's the religion of secular humanism, they give their view on origins, that people then say, well, you know, these are very smart people. They've created all this technology. They've done away with so many diseases. They must be right about these origin issues as well. Is that what you find is the general thinking, even among Christians?
It certainly is. And, you know, that's why this whole issue of operational science versus historical science is so important. If we don't understand that, then we assume that they're using the same science, you know, when it comes to, you know, biological discoveries or discoveries in chemistry or whatever, that's the same science that has brought us the belief in evolution. Mm. But it's certainly not. And, you know, I think it's been... It's almost funny in a way. You know, recently Bill Nye had made light of the distinction between historical and operational science. But it's, you know, like I said, it's funny because it was an evolutionist that first recognized the distinction, and it's not unusual for evolutionists even today to point out and recognize that that is a legitimate distinction.
Mm. I was reading an article. In fact, I just pulled up just a small part of it here in front of me. But it was an article in National Geographic, September 25th, and it said of this year, it said, birds evolved from dinosaurs, and then it adds the word slowly, then took off. And it just, in the original part of this, it just says birds evolved from dinosaurs in a patchwork fashion over tens of millions of years before finally taking to the skies some 150 million years ago. Boy, they speak with such certainty, millions and millions of years into the past. But that word slowly that they add there, it seems that that time is the magic wand here, right? That just given enough time, if you can throw enough time into the mix, anything seems to be possible, and you can get something from nothing, or in this case, you can get birds out of dinosaurs. Am I on the right track here with what they seem to be doing when they talk about evolution, and they include in it these huge time periods?
You're exactly right. Time is the magic wand. You know, Darwin thought, because he saw changes in living things due to natural selection, which is just the sorting out of genetic information, he thought, given enough time, it would result from, you know, from one type of creature actually changing into a different, completely different type of creature. And, of course, you know, most evolutionists don't believe that today. They believe in what we would call neo-Darwinism, where they have added another, we could say, magic ingredient, being genetic mutation. But even still, the only kind of increase that you get in genetic, you know, as a result of genetic mutations is typically it's a duplication. It's not completely new genetic information. And, you know, I often say you could never get from a single cell amoeba to a Homo sapien without some mechanism that increases information in the genome or, you know, gives you completely new genetic information. And that's just totally, that's totally missing. But, you know, really, Tom is the magic wand here. And, you know, whether you believe in a traditional Darwinianism or the neo-Darwinism of today.
I wanted to ask you, that article mentions dinosaurs, and we just have a few minutes left in the interview today, but is there evidence of dinosaurs and man coexisting?
Well, there certainly is. We have so many artifacts, pictographs, carvings from around the world that, you know, that they... There's so much specificity in the details of these creatures that are obviously dinosaurs that there's no question that man had to live alongside of dinosaurs. But, you know, another thing that, you know, people that are, you know, really interested in, maybe are interested in coming out to a talk on October the 16th, you know, we point out the unfossilized dinosaur tissue that's been discovered in recent years, even January of 2013, dinosaur DNA, which is, you know, when you think about the rate that DNA breaks down, you know, that's phenomenal that, you know, we have red blood cells and flexible blood vessels and various types of collagen fibers and even dinosaur DNA that's still intact. It's amazing.
Well, that when you hear about dinosaur DNA, it almost sounds like you might be able to do something to actually produce a dinosaur once they have the DNA. Are we going down that track at all?
Well, I'm certainly not a geneticist, but I know that there are lots of problems with cloning today, and I don't think that we have the technology that I'm aware of anyway. That we could actually produce a living dinosaur today
from the DNA. Well, it's going to be interesting at your talk there on the 16th, and I'm going to give all the information here in just a second. But I first of all wanted to say thank you so much for joining us today in order to talk about these issues, and thank you so much for the ministry that you have there at CMI. You guys are doing a great job of really helping people to answer these questions and to answer them in a biblical way, a God-honoring way, and I just highly commend you guys for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Pastor Kevin. It's an honor to work here, to work with the staff, the scientists that we have, and they're a great bunch of people, and it's an honor to be on the program today. I thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Let me tell the listening audience again that the CMI website, you can go out there to find out not only more about Rusty himself, but the whole ministry there at CMI International. Their website is www.creation.com. That's www.creation.com. I don't know how they managed to get that particular URL, you know, for their site. But wow, that was quite a get in and of itself. I think that that's so easy to remember. They also have a creation magazine that they produce, and you can go out there and check it out as well. That's a creation magazine. They have a journal of creation that on a much more deeper level. You can subscribe to that out on their website. And they have just a number of other parts and interesting articles and events and topics that you can look at out there. There's multimedia part, so you can go out to their website in order to check all those things out as well. Now remember, it's going to be right here in Greenville on the 16th. That's October 16th. And again, it starts at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Greenville Presbyterian Church. You can go out to the Creation Study Group's website in order to find out all the information about that presentation. But basically, Greenville Presbyterian Church is located at 711 Pendleton Street, and that is in Greenville, South Carolina. The presentation will begin at 6 o'clock p.m., and the two topics that will be discussed at that presentation will be creation, why it matters, and then the subtitle for that is A Flood of Evidence. And it says this, it says it's a powerful and attention-grabbing presentation on the vital importance of the Bible's history in Genesis and how it is foundational to the gospel and relevant to our world and society. The authority of the Bible is paramount. Items of scientific evidence are woven into the presentation in a way that is easily understood by the layperson, as is the gospel message. And so that's a great introduction to that. And the second presentation afterwards will be on dinosaurs and their real place in history. It says the Bible or the scriptures clearly teach a global catastrophic flood event in the biblical flood account, and the details of it are given in the scripture. So he's going to talk about that at the presentation. Again, creationstudygroup.org is where you get all the information. Remember, in all these things, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.